Who's got the biggest, the cleanest, the coldest whips of all?
Buzz!
Can you dig it? Who's never late and never missed a single call?
Buzz!
Right on time. Who is the man when you need a chauffeur in Duval?
Buzz!
Damn right. Now listen, when you need a ride to the airport, the bar, a wedding, or anywhere in between, call the man we all know as Mr. Pay-Per-View.
Buzz!
904-887-0763.
This episode of The Bold Take is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Sliding glass door and window repair, A1Sliders.com, 386-538-6835. Listen, so you like go walk into the back of your house, and you get a little close to that sliding glass door, and you're like, ooh, it's a little nippy. It's a little nippy over here. You know why? It's because your sliding glass door needs to be repaired. It's letting the cold in. It's letting the heat out. Not sure which one takes precedence there, but it's making your house cold. These guys can fix it. A1Sliders.com, 386-538-6835. They will give you a free estimate. Like, literally, they just come over and say, oh, it'll cost you this much. And that's it. Free. So if the back of the house makes you want to grab one of your fuzzy blankets off the back of the couch, give our guys a call. 386-538-6835, A1Sliders.com. Find out what that free estimate says and get your house warm. Now back to the Bold Take.
Love you guys, Duval County.
Let's go. Cutty. Yes! Let's fucking go! Let's go!
2017. How does this, feel different to you, the setup of people and players that you have going forward right now?
Yeah, Mark, this time I got it right, okay?
You heard everybody laugh at him. No one believed it then.
All right, well, welcome to the Bold Take.
Wait. Before we get started, you guys mind if I have a little bit of leftover birthday cake while we record?
No,
it's a time of celebration, you know?
Yeah, dude, celebrate, my guy. Celebrate, and, you know, you can have your cake and fire your coach, too. Whatever works.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. You deserve it, buddy. Mm. You deserve it. You know what? Have another piece of cake. It's that kind of day.
Fuck it.
Hey, dipshit, eat your fucking birthday cake.
Don't kick me. Please don't kick me.
Make your fucking kicks. I mean, of all the shit that he did, that had to have been the least flagrant, right? Like, I kind of felt that part. Like,
it's like, dude, honestly, a lot of the stuff he was doing, like telling the receivers they suck and telling the assistant coaches they suck and telling Josh Lambeau he sucks. I mean, I don't think anyone disagreed with it, but because he was literally such a shitbag everywhere else, it made all that stuff that much worse that when you heard it, you were like, man, fuck that guy, versus like, yeah, he's right. Like,
yeah, I think it's that. It's his track record of being a schmuck. Definitely was like part of it. But the other part of it was like, we had all gotten to the point just as fans, right? Mm-hmm. As fans and as observers, we had all gotten to the point where we're like, this dude is just straight full of shit.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
He doesn't know what's going on at all.
So, like, those are all different things, right? Really on the spectrum. Not knowing what's going on, not knowing what he's doing. Yes. But he also is full of shit. Because at times he was trying to make it sound like, right? So you cannot know what's going on and you cannot know what you're doing, but you don't have to be full of shit too. Like, that's kind of the part where you lost me. So there's that. But the greater point here to look back upon and shake our heads at is that if we we being the fans, the collective fan base, if we all knew after what, 14 weeks or whatever, 13 weeks, that he was totally full of shit and that he didn't know what he was doing and he didn't even know what was going on at the time, don't you think the fucking players did? we literally watched him for like 4 hours on Sundays on screen and then listened to him a couple times during the week in press conferences, and we're all like, this guy doesn't have a fucking clue. He doesn't have the slightest fucking clue what's going on. We are all fucked. So if we felt that way, what do you think the people sitting in the meeting, Roy Roberts and
Adam Glances.
Adam Glances.
Everybody on the Phoenix Cardinals.
Now, I think it's funny, like one of the last things that I heard about Urban Meyer and how like the locker room thought of him was, it was 50% of the locker room didn't like him, hated him as a person. And then the other 50% just laughed at him. They thought he was a complete joke. So it was like kind of funny. You have like this whole thing of totality and 0% of them like him, just half laugh and half hate him. So like, I think that's the like perfect embodiment of like Urban Meyer's tenure as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 50% a joke and 50% a piece of shit. So it just kind of, Right, kind of hits right at home.
I bet the joke ones are the ones that make the most money.
Oh, 100%.
Like, they're like, whatever.
It's definitely like the Shaqs who was like, oh, I got a concussion for 2 weeks, my dude. Like, they're like doing the eye test, and he's like fucking just looking at like the TV. Oh, that's a new Gatorade flavor. Fuck, I failed again. Like,
the check still cashes. The check still cashes.
I mean, even Shaq said today, like when I first got here and I said the stuff I said, I actually believed it.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, like gaming as hell. Like the player like straight out came out and was like, yeah, he got my ass too.
It was, man. It's just all so bizarre. And I know we'll obviously that's gonna dominate what we're talking about tonight, but
no, it's not. We're looking forward. We're only looking forward.
Yeah. Shout out to Gigi Meyer defending her daddy. Us against the world. He loves us.
So, you know, I read that. And first of all, if you could even fucking make out what she was saying, kudos to you. Because I couldn't. It was like reading somebody who believes in fucking QAnon. And if you're listening to this and you're a fucking QAnon supporter, I apologize. But you're a fucking
moron. No, he doesn't apologize. You're a fucking goober.
Yeah. You're a fucking idiot. But like, that's what it felt like to me trying to read her babble.
The spirit of the enemy is in full force battle mode in this world and in people. This is war. But like I said, we all know who wins in the end.
Ephesians 6:9.
The enemy, aka the world, really doesn't want to see good people win. And you can argue whether my dad is a good person or not based on what you see in the media. Super reliable source of info, as we know. Anyone who truly knows us knows how incredible he is as a person. And the world hates any platform we have, so he's going to create chaos to destroy it.
Bro, tell me I'm wrong. Is that not some fucking QAnon shit? Like, that is
some QAnon shit. What's going on over there, dude?
Like, I kept waiting for the next line to say, like, JFK was not, you know, is not dead. Like, you know.
Well, the next line literally is, it's not over. Keep watching.
So when I first read it, when I first started to read it, I'm like, oh, word. Like, I mean, this is a girl sticking up for her dad. Like, this normal shit.
Totally cool. Yeah.
And then the more I read it, I'm like, wow, I'm actually, for the first time ever, really concerned for Gigi Meyer. Like, it used to be like, wow, she's quite attractive. Like, I don't mind looking at her in pictures. Good for Urban. You know, I mean, him and Shells, they made some attractive looking offspring. Like, they seem to be well-adjusted humans. They have lives. They have families. But fuck, man, I came away from that and I was like, we need a welfare check on Gigi Meyer. Like, I mean, this is like, I'm a little worried about her, you know, her mentals, her chickens, her mentals. So that was,
I blame Demetrius for getting Urban fired.
It's Demetrius's fault.
Yeah. Because he said Cisco was starting to play a lot better and he played zero plays.
There's so many things, bro. There are so many little things in such a short period of time that you can fucking point to the point to where, like, I look back and I'm like, man, Doug Marone said some funny, stupid shit. you know, Gus Bradley. Like, we still have Gus Bradley-isms. Mike Mularkey with the fucking helmets and the stupid shit he did. But, like, none of it was in such a small window at such volume. That's the part that I'm just like, I don't think I've really fully come to grips with just how fucked this entire thing was.
Yeah, check this out. My dude said, I don't micromanage. It's up to the position coaches. But actually, I fucking hate all of them and think they're all dumbasses. So it's whatever I say goes. Like, what the fuck?
It was, dude, I'm telling you. All right, so.
Dude, people know who Bernie Parmalee is or something like that because Urban Meyer lied on his name so hard. Why the fuck should I know who the running back coach is? That's crazy.
Well, I actually remember Bernie Parmalee when he was playing because I'm that much older than you.
Well, he played for the Dolphins or something like that. I know, but
yeah.
Come on, man. I'm not that washed.
Well, I would, in this scenario, I'm probably the one who's washed. You're just young. but let's not get bogged down on the details. Let's just call it like it is, right?
Let's call him Urban Meyer.
I released the Urban Osteen Photoshop. Shout out made by Tim. My personal Photoshopper. It's like, hey Tim, I need, and then like, you know, a couple minutes later, boom, it's right there. But dude, I think, you know, going back, I don't want to say that I feel vindicated, and all three of us really, like, we've been talking shit about this guy on the pod for months. But he's just, the guy's a grifter, bro. He's a grade A straight up bullshit artist. And that works when you're deploying that to try and get the best talent to come play for you. And that even works once that talent is there and you've got the resources and the other coaches and all of that to put a good product on the field. Then guys start fearing you. Then guys start saying, oh, I got to go play for him. The guys are going to the league. He's getting the guys in the pros. He got so exposed so quickly that I don't know that we'll ever see something like, I mean, it was like watching Joel Osteen get like legitimately busted down. I mean, that's the kind of grifter that he was, though. I mean, he came in trying to sell this idea that he did all this homework, that he's the genius who then took and deployed his geniusness on figuring out the NFL, and now he has a plan and he studied it and all of this, and we and everybody wanted to believe it because it's Urban Meyer,
dude. Studied it. He was like, wow, so they also have 11 players and the field is also 100 yards. Holy fuck, it's the same thing, easy, and I can just recruit whoever I want.
No, this guy, bro, he came in and he's an opportunist. And he's a grifter, which most grifters are opportunists, right? Like, that's what they see. And he saw Trevor Lawrence. He saw Shad's fat checkbook and his willingness and his desperation, right? Really, his desperation.
His Big Ten homie was going to come get him.
Bro, that's what a grifter does, right? They sense out somebody who's desperate. And then they take that sense and they apply it to what they do best, which is bullshit. And they utilize that to fucking wiggle their way in there. And he thought the great equalizer for him, he could feed everybody a line of bullshit. As long as he had Trevor Lawrence, he'd be okay. I think it really is as fucking simple as that. Yeah, like,
he's literally white Jesus. He's going to wash away his sins.
Well, I mean, I don't know if even Jesus could do that, but shout out to Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's, you know, I look back on how, like I said, how quickly it unraveled, and just things as simple as what happened to own it? You know, I mean, this guy literally, like, your platform and your values that you were trying to build this program, this organization upon, were so flimsy that, like, you started out with all these buzzwords, which, again, which is what fucking grifters do, right? Like, I mean, these, I hate all these self-help gurus and these people who write these books. There's a guy here locally that it, John something or other, everybody freaking retweets him.
Caputo.
Yeah. Follow him.
Hashtag Team Urban.
Hashtag Team Urban.
Fucking grifter.
Like, it's... Dude, that was for the cause. That was for the cause. But like, I hate all that stuff, man. I hate it with a passion because I feel like what it is at its core is it's taking advantage of fucking vulnerable people. And that is, man, for it to fall apart, for you to have these pillars that you talk about and for those pillars to come crashing down so quickly.
My bad.
Oh boy. Oh my goodness.
Somebody say Pill.
Pill Nye, the Urban Meyer guy. Anyway,
you got to go all the way to the Phoenix Cardinals to get those. and the Baltimore Colts. But it's that's kind of like the fact that Urban Meyer was an asshole and was hard on players, not surprising to anyone.
Hard on his mistress.
Well, maybe not. Maybe he wasn't. But that to me is where I just get so lost with it. You know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't going to work from a coaching perspective, fine. If he didn't have the chops, the X's and O's, if he didn't have the passion and the energy to actually roll up the sleeves and figure out the league and get it done, fine. But the fact that you like, your values and your principles
he did the complete opposite of them.
But just not just that, but just like, I mean, he didn't mention own it after like week two.
After the football disappeared, all of the graphics disappeared, the polos disappeared. Shows crazy.
It's intentional, bro. He's like, I'm not owning shit.
Bro, if you go to Hope's Closet, they probably got like a million own it polos in that bitch for like $8 a piece. Talk about another grift, but anyway, keep going.
It's uncanny is what it really is.
I mean, you got to give him credit. Great grift.
It was.
Would have been better if he didn't, if he gets all the money, if he has to get it all paid out, that'd be an outstanding grift.
Yeah, good luck with that, I think. I'm sure that they'll probably settle. They'll settle for some smaller.
$6.9. Fuck that loser.
Yeah, he doesn't like, if we're being honest, he doesn't deserve a fucking dime.
I would give him a firing squad, like straight up Tommy Gun, like just fucking.
Just you want Shaw to just go Scarface on him?
Might as well.
Say hello to my little friend. I happen to like their coffee.
Okay.
If you do that, you got to do it on the boat.
Yeah, like, dude, and then kick him off into the St. John's and watch him just sink to the bottom.
That's it.
007 level.
I just the fact that it ended, I can't remember a coach being fired where it was so unanimous. I mean, aside from me for like 4 days with the hashtag Team Urban stuff, which shout out to anybody that's listening to this that didn't know what I was doing. God bless you. And you probably fall for the Urban Meyers of the world all the time. And I feel sorry for that. But
it was probably listen to Joel Osteen every Sunday morning.
Dude, I explained it, right? I explained it. It was reverse jinx. Shot Khan very rarely ever does anything that I want him to do. So I knew that if I continued to just cheer and root for Urban to be can, then he would be here forever. So it was a service that I was willing to provide for the greater cause.
I heard that right before Shad finally pulled the trigger, the last thing he did was he asked one of his assistants to look at your timeline and just see what your temperature on it was. And they saw hashtag Team Urban. They were like, all right, fuck it. Do it then.
That's it. We know we got to do this now. That fucking guy.
That jackass doesn't know anything.
That fucking guy always on there tweeting. But I've never seen it so unanimous.
I was gonna mention before the whole firing on our next podcast, I was gonna mention how outstanding it is that we've had two completely different causes in back-to-back years
that have totally united the fan base to root for losses.
Hey, and maybe that's our wheelhouse, bro. Maybe we just need to keep coming up with those, you know, like
I felt so much better about rooting for losses because I had a clear direction of something to root for.
That's where we really thrive, right? I mean, that's where we're at our best. Some of the most fun I had last year, or that I've had in the last few years, was last year really rooting. See, it turned more to apathy for me this year. Like
last year was fun.
Yeah, losing with a purpose, as I call it. It was great.
It's like failing a test early in the semester so you can like get a B to get a C in the class, and then you feel good about it instead of just doing good and having a good grade. Like, you're still a failure, but it's better than it was.
I felt the exact same way. I was completely apathetic until it was like, okay, we really need to, like, we might actually fire this guy. Like, we need to lose all these games. I was like, yeah, I have a purpose now. That's when I texted you guys. I was like, let's pot. I have a purpose now.
Yeah, it was grim in those texts for a few weeks. It certainly was. There was no energy, and we all lacked purpose. Nobody wanted to own it.
Y'all want a podcast? Fuck no.
Really, the podcast doesn't get done unless I text and say, when are we doing it? And I didn't do that for like a month. So
yeah, you went to like third world country on our ass.
It's on me.
Yeah, my man was down there with the natives.
I was down there for 1 week and we didn't do the podcast for like, I don't even know how many.
We did it the 1 week you were down there, actually.
Yeah, we did. Remember?
That was a good episode. I appreciate
it from like a fucking canoe and some like crystal clear spring or something.
Yeah, it was great.
In Barbados or wherever you were. Where were you?
Dominica.
It's by Barbados.
Oh, good. Yeah, I knew that. See? all about the Caribbean and the pirates. Yeah. So yeah. It's pretty wild.
So the real shit here is
pretty wild.
Does it do anything for you guys that Shad Khan, who said this time I got it right, okay, like smug as a motherfucker, right, was willing to swallow his pride this soon and do what needed to be done? Or is it
for
like
me, I a lot of people haven't really talked about it, but the fact that Trevor was on the yacht on Tuesday night is telling. I think that's where I give Shad Khan credit. I don't give him credit for firing Urban Meyer. That was like a no-brainer bullshit. Like he should have done it X amount of weeks ago. We knew it wasn't gonna last, it wasn't gonna be right. But I think Shad realizes he has one asset. It's not Josh Allen. It's not James Robinson. It's not Joe Colan, who looks like he's the first coach in 10 years.
It's Logan Cook.
Exactly. It's our MAGA punter, dude. Let's go, Brandon. But no, I think that we got to give Shad Khan credit for, like I said, he understands the asset that he has. And who knows if he's going to sit him down and say, here are the three head coaches we're looking at. And when it comes after that, here are the two offensive coordinators we're looking at. What do you think? But right now, I think it's important that he did have a conversation with him. And whether it was just saying, hey, I'm going to fire him and I want you to know from me, I think that's important. We don't know the context of it, but we just know he was there. So that's where I'm like, all right, good job, Shad Khan. Like, as someone who hates on the motherfucker for everything he does, I think that that's like super fire that he went.
I wonder what, you know, because to us, people who have been here for a long time, like, this is like the latest, like, terrible mark against his record as an owner, right? I mean, like, this is one of the worst gaffes he's had of the past 10 years.
Yeah, I think
probably the worst, right?
I think he gets a little bit of a slide, though, because everyone knew that Urban Meyer could be a terrible head coach. Everyone knew that it might not translate to the NFL. Nobody thought it was going to go like this. Like, this is like out of a book.
Yeah.
Sean Payton, who's played by Paul Blart, would have been a better coach in Jacksonville than Urban Meyer. And none of us thought that that was capable. We thought we were going to get at worst better football, better coach team. And if we didn't win down the road, like, obviously it's Jacksonville Jaguar shit. Like, it is what it is. But, man, we got, like, crazy stuff, man. Like, the, like Cap was saying, in 13 weeks, there's so many stories that you can look and, like, laugh at and point at. from not knowing a player's name to kicking the fucking kicker, like literally kicking the kicker. I told someone that the head coach is in trouble for kicking the kicker who doesn't watch football. And they did had they had no idea what I was talking about. Like, what do you mean he kicked
the kicker? Yeah, why would they?
Yeah. Like, so it's just kind of funny. Like, he was so bad to an extreme that, like, I mean, obviously it's a bad hire because of how bad it was, but like, I don't know. It just seemed, it seemed like, you know, you went and you bought like the $100 firework pack and it was a dud and you didn't know it until it was dark on the 4th of July and you can't do anything about it at this point except throw it away and come back next year and hope it's better.
Yeah, I think, so the analogy that I was making earlier when I was thinking about this with Urban and when you asked the question, like, how could it go so wrong is, and I like this analogy because I think most of us have experienced it in our lives, you know, professionally, that usually. And Urban was that guy who was able to make it to a certain level by doing enough, but also like faking it till you make it, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what happens with those types of people is when they make it to like the highest level, or they make it to a level to where they maybe aren't prepared and they aren't ready for, they get exposed. And I think that's the easiest way that like I can process it in my brain as to what happened with him is, again, that he was in the past, what he was able to do is bullshit his way through stuff. And what tends to happen to people who do that for long enough is they begin to buy their own bullshit. And then they think that their bullshit's like bulletproof. And I think that's really what happened in this case. At the core of it, like to simplify it as much as possible, in my head, that's what happened. Like his bullshit finally caught up to him because he was at a level where it's the elite. It's the pinnacle. There are no shortcuts. You know, you can't have 17 five-star guys. There's no shortcuts. It is the ultimate test of football preparation and, you know, football, you know, your football knowledge and your football mettle. And he got exposed. And I think he realized really early on that his bullshit wasn't going to get him through stuff, that hashtags and taglines and, you know, all of that stuff, being Urban Meyer, walking into a room and just being Urban Meyer was not going to get him through it, because everybody who was lining up against his team and most of the guys on his team didn't give a fuck that he's Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Right.
They're grown men with their money and they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And so that's the best analogy that I can come up with in my head for sort of just, you know, a very simplified basic explanation for what happened here. Now, as far as to answer your question, Solly, about Shad Khan, this is going to sound really crazy coming from me, because Dilla just said that he, you know, basically shits on everything Shad Khan does. And I think I've probably gained a reputation, well earned, to be fair. But I've probably gained a reputation of being somebody that's super hard on Shad Khan, right?
It's you and Nate Monroe.
Yeah. I always know that when I fire off a Shad Khan tweet, Nate Monroe favorites it really quickly. I'm like, oh boy, that might be too spicy. But shout out Nate. And
love Nate.
So with Shad, here's what I'm going to say. And this is why it's going to sound kind of crazy, because I'm not going to shit on him. What I'm going to say instead is, I know in my heart, in my brain, he's got to be more involved, and not just from a day-to-day perspective, but he has to wrap his head around what that means.
It seems like he is too.
I think so. And that's why, to Dilla's point, like going and sitting down with Trevor and recognizing that he has to be the one. Right. Ultimately, some coaches, might be multiple coaches in Trevor's career, will come and go. Coordinators may come and go. But at the end of the day, Trevor is his relationship.
Those two got to be.
Yeah. They got to be. Just like Bob Kraft. And, you know, I mean, that was almost, right? I mean, we learned that in the later years of the Brady tenure there. Bob Kraft and Brady were very tight, but, and then Bob Kraft and Belichick were pretty tight. So, but Belichick and Brady weren't always super tight. They had that, you know,
the, and also, kind of and a, also like not every owner is going to get a coach and a quarterback. So you got to know which one, you know,
right.
You got to know which one's doing it and which one you need to have that relationship with.
Yeah. You got to know who your golden goose is. And so
you're my golden goose.
Thanks, bro. Likewise. So going forward, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that Shad Khan has, what's his main issue with the last two regimes has been that he wants to find the fix-all. He wants to find the person who can come in and build it and then own it, right? To borrow a phrase from Pervy Irby, right? The person who's going to come in and build it and run it, and he wants to be able to get out of the way. Because any successful business person would tell you, you know, you can't always be meddling in affairs. You got to hire great people and you got to let them go to work, right? You got to provide them the resources, you got to provide them the support, and then let them do their thing, right? That's a basic tenet of managing people and managing business. But
you got to find the motherfuckers.
First, you got to find the motherfuckers. But at the same time too, bro, one of the things that I always go back to, and my old man used to tell me this all the time, because I had these harebrained ideas. Oh, I'll open this and I'll get, you know, and, you know, we can have someone, you know, he's like, look, dude, nobody runs your business like you run your business. And at the end of the day, if Shad Khan fancies himself as the steward of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the city of Jacksonville, and he recognizes all those parallels and all those elements of importance, no coach that you bring in here is going to understand or appreciate those things as much as the guy who has that fiduciary relationship with the fan base, with the city. Now you hope you get a good coach who over some time builds that relationship and that understanding, but Shad and Tony are the only ones that are associated with that organization, maybe Lamping, but that can make those decisions on the football side that really get that. And at the end of the day, whatever coach they bring in, whatever fucking GM they bring in, is going to be there like everybody else in the NFL for themselves first, right? Mm-hmm. They'll talk all this shit about wanting to win a trophy for the city and do this for the fans. Oh, I want to do it for the 904. Thanks, Urban. You know, want to do it for Duvall and the 904. Like, thank you, Urban. You're the man. But they'll talk all this shit. But at the end of the day, what in reality, what they want to do is they want to fucking win things and they want to keep cashing those checks. That's what people want to do. And Shad's got to understand that in order to get those checks, there's a whole line of motherfuckers in this league who will line up and tell him what he wants to hear.
Right.
Who will accept whatever responsibility that he wants to put on the table. Because
they'll guess be good. What? They'll be good grifters too.
That's and there's so many grifters. And then for every grifter, there's five guys in this league that would sell their mother up the river for a head coaching job or for another GM job. Like, that's just the reality. And so Shad has to, like, he has to become more of an active part of building the culture and building this entire organization. It can't be, you are not going to find a Tom Coughlin who's going to come in and do it all and handle it all, and it's all going to be great. Urban Meyer wasn't it. So that's his fatal flaw, really, at this point. I can wrap my head around why he thinks he wants to do it. He knows he's not an expert in football operations. I can respect that. He's not trying to be like fucking Daniel Snyder or Jerry Jones. I can respect a guy or a person who realizes where their shortcomings are and then wants to find capable people. But I think one of the things Shad Khan, you know, in all his million fucking interviews that he did with, I don't know if you read Gene Fournette's article, but he, you know, fucking sat down with 20 different owners over the years trying to get, you know, to hobnob and network so that they would know who he is when his time came and all this shit. And that's great, bro. But guess what? Every one of those guys he talked to is full of shit. Every fucking coach who comes in there is full of shit. And until he fucking, you know, rolls up his sleeves and turns on his bullshit meter, right? Like, yeah. that's I don't know that anything changes. And that sounds crazy, right? Because here's a guy, here's Cap, here's me, who's been railing on this dude for years. And, you know, been hypercritical of the results that Shad's put out there. And I know there's some people are going to be like, yo, Cap, you want this guy more involved? All you do is talk shit about him. Like, you want him more involved? And yes, I do. Because I don't, and I'll leave it at this. I know I've been going on here for a moment, but what's important too isn't just the building of the structure of how things are going to be laid out from a personnel standpoint. Dude, you got to build a culture around these players. Today's players, like, and that's the crazy part. We don't got fucking Mark Davis. We don't have 720-year-old fucking Rooney or John Mara. Shad's a gregarious motherfucker. He is. Like, there's not a single player who, when they sit down with that dude on his fucking $200 million yacht, wouldn't be like, this dude's a G. Like,
yeah, right.
And he's got charisma. And
it's gotta, like, come from him. Like, that whole culture thing, it's all about him.
It's about him because he has it in him, bro.
Yeah.
It can be genuine. It can be like, hey, be a part of the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars. This is what it means. Yeah. This is what we're going to do for the players. This is what we're going to do for you once your playing days are over. Dude, the shit they do for the reunion homecoming game, it sucks. It's terrible. He should be rolling out the motherfucking red carpet. That's how you build culture. And to me, that's the most frustrating thing of all of this is, like, here's a guy who's more successful than any of us will ever be able to fathom in a business world and all of these things. And, like, at the essence of it, like, how is he not able to figure out how to build a culture that's welcoming and that's embracing and that's elite? Yeah. Like, that's where I want more from him and from Tony and from these guys. Jalen Ramsey should have thought Shad Khan was the fucking guy who hung the moon, bro. Like, he should have thought Shad Khan was King Kong. Like, I mean, he should have. And Trevor should, and all these guys, like, it's I don't know. I think we have a distinct advantage in a lot of ways. We have the community here that's small enough, that's close knit enough, and people get behind the players and all those things. We have so many players who choose to stay here after their playing days. Not many fucking dudes are staying in Cleveland or Buffalo after their playing days, right? Like, I mean, so many guys, it's right there. It's right there. And that's like, why Shad can't figure that out is probably the most maddening part, but he's got to get more involved.
Maybe the Four Seasons will do it.
At the Urban Meyer practice facility.
Yo, shout out to, we got it. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that. I mean, if nothing else, the guy got Shad to come off that and we will have that from henceforth. It's funny. I used to love the fact that we didn't have a offsite practice facility, because that meant that when it came time to go to, like, training camp practices, we're right there at the stadium, which is way cooler, right? Like, to drive downtown and be at the stadium and right on the river and that whole vibe and atmosphere would be way cooler than if they put that shit down, like, off of fucking 9B and, like, Nocatee, you know, like, that shit would be lame as fuck going
drive to the Avenues Mall and watch training camp.
Yeah. Regency Mall.
Yeah.
Like, it's become quite clear that those facilities are needed. So that reminds me of the urbanisms too, right? Remember one of the very first things he said is, we're going to coach them hard. We're going to, you know, we're going to show them that we care and that we care about them. We're going to give them the best of everything, right? We're giving them the best coaching, the best facilities, the best resources. You know, we want this to be a destination. It's like, good classic team. Case of just believing your own bullshit, my guy.
A great grifter, man.
Yeah, fucking Urban Osteen, bro. Just straight up. He was our own fucking televangelist.
I saw mention that the contract was 5 years. Is that true? Is that what you got? Have you guys seen that?
I heard that it was like, there was like the initial five and then there was the built-in extensions all built in already.
But I thought that was
going to be here.
Yeah, that's why I said, but who the fuck knows?
I don't know.
I hear anything from 8 million a year to 10 million a year.
My instinct was that it would be like a bigger deal than that.
Yeah.
Like longer, you know what I mean? Like he was like, his reputation was such, and his, you know, his spot in life was such that I thought it would have been like a little bit longer deal and more money than that. So
yeah, I guess the only reason why it wouldn't make sense is because like the longest he had been there, or his previous 10 years were like 5 years long,
6 years
because of health. So yeah, maybe, but
yeah, I don't know if I find that like a little bit savvy almost. Like, at least you weren't trying to hedge like a fucking 10-year, like a John Gruden contract, you know what I mean? He had a
wouldn't little, you yeah. Well, that's, I mean, fucking it. At the end of the day, who do you think's out negotiating in that scenario? Mark Davis or Shad Khan? Who's yeah. the fucking better negotiator? Yeah. Meet me at PF Chang's. fucking Mark Davis.
Meet me at Great Clips.
Mark Great Davis. Clips and PF Chang's, bro, and his fucking Ford Econoline van. I think, wouldn't you love to have been in those initial meetings with Shad and Urban? Like, just to hear what the vision was supposed to be and what he told Shad. I'd love to. I don't know, maybe it's the masochist in me, and we should probably just all move on. But I keep thinking about that. It's like, how did he grift him so bad? Like,
I think it was just like, hey, do you want to come coach Trevor Lawrence? And he was like, yep, I'll bring the bullshit. That's it.
That's literally it, huh?
They knew each other before, right? You know who he is. Like, yeah. I don't think it was like fucking, like if I'm interviewing somebody at my fucking job, you know what I mean?
Well, I've been harping on that shit for months, right? Like, what was the plan? And that's like, anybody who comes into this motherfucker, that's what I want to see. And if there wasn't a comprehensive plan laid out, then like, what the fuck are we even doing here? I mean, you can't go into Solly's bank right now and get a fucking business loan without a business plan. Like, you telling me that like Shad's just handing out 9 million a year to motherfuckers who just slap their resume down and, you know, no plan? Like,
I'm applying for a coaching job.
Yeah, and that's what frustrated me is like from day one, that never fooled me. That never fooled me. Once I saw who he was hiring, we talked about that with Nate Tice, right? Like once I saw who he was hiring, the shit just didn't make sense. It didn't strike me as a guy who had this fucking grandiose plan about how to build this thing. You know, because I saw that, I don't know if it was Albert Breer or somebody was like, you know, oh, he didn't have a chance to really, you know, put it all together the way that I'm sure he wanted to. And I'm just like, dude, we could have let him stay here until Dilla was 49 and nothing would have changed. That dude never would have had a plan.
He would have ended up hiring Dilla fucking cookies without eggs. The guy was fucking toast. That shit was going to be trash the whole time. It didn't matter.
It was only going to get worse, not better.
Yeah. It really was, man. Once it, you know, it's like that old adage that you tell your kids, like you get caught in a lie. Like, don't lie your way out of it. That motherfucker just kept lying every week. He was just, and shit just kept snowballing and snowballing. Yeah. I did not have relations with that woman. Okay.
My guy was trying to tuck his boner into the fucking bar stool. Like, come on, bro, chill.
He's belt tucking it.
Yeah. He was pushing it down the.
Oh, down to the side? Like, yeah. Over by, yeah.
Top to bottom.
You haven't lived if you haven't done that. Living
right now.
Are you good for you, bro? This conversation got you fired up.
Fucking, you guys got me fucking heated.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So yeah, I don't know. It's wild to think that here we are in December and we're talking about new coaches again.
You guys want to play the Vegas odds on the next coach game?
Yeah.
First of all, wouldn't it be amazing? So Urban got hired.
Yeah, we're Solly over here.
Give me Jim Caldwell plus 1,000. That's easy money.
So Urban, that was actually correct. He's been peeping the lines. I'm watching.
Yeah, I did that fucking know exactly what they all are.
So Urban got hired here, right? He buys a house in one of those country clubs, right? Mm-hmm. And they do a story about how it used to be David Garrard's house, right? So wouldn't it be amazing if Byron Leftwich replaced Urban Meyer, who replaced David Garrard in his house?
After David Garrard replaced Byron Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich finally replaces David Garrard back. You see?
The only real way I think that Byron Leftwich would replace David Garrard is if when Byron Leftwich becomes our head coach, gets fired for being a total failure and opens up a couple gyms that close a couple years later. That's the closest he's going to get to replacing David Garrard in town.
What if Byron bought the same house?
Probably have a fucking table with a bunch of pictures on it.
I didn't know. Shit. There's so many warning signs, bro. There's so many warning signs. It's like
every instance we just laugh about some dumb shit that these motherfuckers did while they were here.
But like with Irvin, it's there's so many compounded in such a short amount of time. It's like,
yeah, dude. It's 14 weeks of a comedy sketch.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Except for in the moment, it wasn't that funny.
All the people around the league, like national writers that aren't like the fucking main guys or whatever, you can tell they've just gotten such a kick out of it. The whole thing has been entertainment to them.
It's funny because I remember as recently as 4 years ago, and then prior to that, 6, 7, 8 years ago. All of us joking, like half joking, me like, well, yeah, we're pretty bad, but at least we're not the Browns or the Lions or the whatever. And it's like, bro, there ain't anybody left on that list.
We're the fucking list now.
There are zero at least anymore. Like the at least are gone. At least we are not. Nope, we are. Like there's no, at least we aren't. We are.
At least we didn't lose our team. That's all we got. We still got the fucking team.
And like I said, if that's what we're judging shot on, that's a really fucking low bar. That's like slightly above existing, right? Yeah, like,
at least we're not St. Louis.
No, that literally is existing. That is just existing.
It's true. He said it's right above existing.
It's slightly, like, I'm giving them some credit here. It's slightly above existing. Like,
it went one year a year. It's just
we are here. it's pretty wild. I don't love the idea of Byron Leftwich, and I know we're gonna have plenty of time to talk coaches and hopefully
I don't GMs. Want him either.
And hopefully GMs. I don't think Jim Caldwell is gonna be the guy either.
He's gonna be too smart to take the job. He knows Trevor Lawrence stinks.
Well, his last job, didn't he leave? Was it Miami with some health issues? And he's older now, dude. I mean, do we even know? Yeah. Like, where is this speculation coming from? Do we know that like he's interested, like he wants to get another head coaching gig, or is this just
no? We don't know. So the first time I saw that name was when I tweeted it at like 4 a.m. and then I saw Tony Dungy jump on the train.
Yeah,
that was the perfect. And I think that's when, like, that's the first time I saw someone actually, like, you know, someone that has steam to get like takes and opinions go and say it. And then like Solly was saying, when the Lions came out, he was like +1,000, which is like fifth or sixth on the list, I think. I mean, I don't think he'll be the head coach. I just think the numbers that the quarterbacks had while he was around, Joe Flacco's like super insane run was with him. Peyton Manning was his quarterback coach for what, like 10 years. And then he has a hand in developing Stafford for as much as you want to call it development. He won
with the Lions, bro.
Exactly. And if you can win in Detroit, there's no reason you can't win in Jacks.
For sure.
I mean, even look at, like, they had the great Barry Sanders. Well, we had Fred Taylor, who was better. Fuck it if you don't agree with me. I don't care. Like, I'm right. Not you guys, but anyone listening.
I'm like, why is he yelling at me, Sally?
Bro, Barry Sanders can be elite because he's as fast as me. Once he gets past the 10-12-yard line, he's slow as fuck. How are you going to get chased down from the back? Fred Taylor would never get chased down from the back because he ain't a bitch.
Fred Taylor would never. That was a really powerful little ad-libbed rant that you just went on. I respect it.
My dog Fred Taylor needs to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I got some updated odds, actually. Okay, you guys want to go through these? What the fuck? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just reading this list. It's fucking wild. Okay.
Daniel's number one.
This is according. This is according to oddschecker.com, which I just Googled. Byron Leftwich is number one plus 400.
Oh, wow.
I know you guys both said you don't really like Byron. I kind of do like Byron.
I don't have anything against Byron. There's a couple of things that I think are working against him to the Jaguars. One, you can never go home again.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Two, I don't really think this is the place and the situation for him to get his first shot. I think we got to have somebody who's more experienced with leading an entire organization, leading an entire right now. I mean, now does he have the chops from a coaching and a teaching perspective? Yeah, probably. I mean, the dude was a savant when he was here playing. I get that. Is he probably only better off for being around Tom Brady and working with Tom Brady the last couple of years?
And Arians.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Now, see, if the question was, can we have Bruce Arians? I'd be the first fucking one to get on the plane and go kidnap him. No, I know that. I know that. So with that said, I'm looking at more of the guys who are, you know, a name that got tossed out today. I don't know if he's on the list, but I'd even be interested in Marvin Lewis. Like, who are these cats who had a lot of success already, who know the league, who know how to lead men, who left positive impressions upon the players that played for them, even though they've moved on? Like, those are the guys that I think you got to target right now. Because again, no one, when they're thinking about the next coach, should have grandiose ideas about winning divisions and Super Bowls and shit. That shouldn't be like the goal for this next coach should be to come in, help continue to develop Trevor Lawrence and to get us to fucking mediocrity. Like that's mission critical at this point. Get us
to go to the playoffs next year. He should be fired too.
But what's that?
If the next coach doesn't take us to the playoffs next year, he should be fired too.
Well, bro, the playoffs now are like, I mean, it's like fucking ESE football. Like,
we haven't been to the playoffs since 2017. If we don't go next year, the next coach is a failure.
It's because making the playoffs now is like a participation trophy. Like that's the saddest part about where we are this year, mm-hmm. is that in a year where there's been the most, like, I mean, there's even more parity in the league because at this point in the season, more teams are in on it because of that extra playoff team.
Yeah, and we're not even COVID and like random ass rosters and weird ass people aren't playing games. Like, the Browns are missing Baker Mayfield and whoever the backup is, Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. At this point in the year in the playoff hunt, they're literally missing their first and second quarterback.
And guess what? All of those things matter to about 27 teams in the league. We just ain't one of the 27, bro.
Yeah, because we're lucky and all of our guys follow protocol and we don't have a COVID outbreak.
Oh, no, I meant more along
the lines of... No, I'm fucking with you. I know. I know what you mean. I'm fucking with you.
I'm like, wait a minute. That isn't where I was going with that. Anyway, that's for me when it comes to the coach is, you know, who can get us to mediocrity, to being competitive, you know...
I do think that Byron has all those characteristics that you're talking about to become like a Marvin Lewis, a Jim Caldwell type of person. Well,
thing is, we don't before. Yeah, we don't know. And this is a fucked up enough situation and culture and, you know, a talent deficient enough roster to where, you know, it's going to be a hard sell for me to bring in somebody who's never been a head coach before. It's just gonna be with everything that's jacked up.
And you would think we still have enough pull to get somebody.
Well, because all right, let's put it this way:
with some chops,
I think we'll be the number one job.
Yeah.
Why do people fall in love with the up and coming coordinator? Why do they?
Because they score points or they prevent points, and they usually make a deep run into the playoffs, and everyone falls in love with the playoff team.
Right. Well, also because you've never seen them fail.
Never seen them fail. And what are they hoping, though? They're hoping that it's going to be the next Belichick.
Yeah,
or McVay or whatever, right? That's what they're hoping. Yeah. Now, in reality, like, that's – you're hoping that by hiring the up-and-comer, you're hoping that you're going for a home run. You're hoping you're scoring the fucking grand slam. We don't need a home run, boys. Shad needs to stop thinking he's going for the home run with with Urban Meyer. I mean, he swung for the fences, bro. Bases were loaded, and all we needed was a run. He could have hit a sac fly, a fucking base hit, a double, and my man was up there just taking huge hacks. And he didn't need to. You got Trevor Lawrence. You got $9 billion in cap space. Just get us to mediocrity, my guy. Like, just lay down. Hey, lay down a suicide squeeze. I'd rather you do that than fucking go for the grand slam. We don't need it.
Well, if you don't need it. If you don't like the Byron Leftwich style, then you're not going to like Kellen Moore, who's second at plus 500, Daryl Bevel, who's third at plus 550, Eric Bieniemy, who's fourth at plus 700, Joe Brady, who's fifth at plus 700.
None of those guys will be the head coach, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. Doug Peterson is next at plus 900. So
I think he's likely to be the coach.
Experience. And
I could see him.
His fucking face bothers me.
I don't know if Caldwell, Jim, not Dave. I don't know if Caldwell, again, if he's even interested in the type of job or coaching a job
in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Coaching in general. But I would take either one of them at this point. I think they check the boxes that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I would, Marvin Lewis is another guy again. Now, if you want to sell me on a fucking Joe Brady with Marvin Lewis, I'll listen. You know, then we can start talking.
We should give Mike Tomlin $20 million a year.
Did you see my tweet earlier?
No, I didn't. What'd you say?
I added the Steelers and said, hey, what do you guys think about a second round pick?
So there is a,
they can have ETN and next year's first round pick.
There is on this list, there is a current long tenured head coach that is not Mike Tomlin, which kind of made me go, oh fuck. And he actually has higher. Sure. No, he actually currently coaching head coach. He also has higher odds. He has better odds than Jim Caldwell.
And that is Sean Payton. That
is Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll.
I would be down.
I mean, I'm like,
that would be such a failure, but God, it would be fun. It'd be the same thing, but not as crazy.
I mean, could you imagine having Gus Bradley and then follow it? Like, I mean,
could you imagine having him Daryl Bevel defensive coordinator hire and he hires the Lions D-line coach Todd Wash?
Yeah, I'm good on that. I'd love Sean Payton if we're talking trading a pick for a coach.
Also on here is the same odds as Josh McDaniels, plus 1400 for Josh McDaniels and Pete Carroll.
What's your take on McDaniels, Stilla?
I don't know. I think his X's and O's are elite. I think it's scary because of like what he was before. I think it's scary that he took a job and then backed out. Like, I mean, if you have some sketchy feelings and it's a place that somehow is much more stable with a, you know, crackpot owner like Indy, and you get scared, like what's going to happen when you come down to Jacksonville and you smell low tide? Like, you're gonna be like, what the fuck did I get myself into? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Have to be one where
I'd rather have Byron.
For me, I don't know about that. For me, if McDaniels were to be in play, and I'm Shad, it would have to be a situation where I would put it out to the universe that here's what I'm kind of looking for from a credential standpoint. Like, I'll put it this way. I wouldn't contact him first. I would see if his agent contacted us to express any kind of interest in having a conversation. And if that happened, then I would know that he's
actually interested.
Yeah. He's actually interested in at least a conversation. And then that would lead to more of, well, what would your plan be? Right.
Yeah.
And so I think what happened with Indy is Indy pursued him hard and he liked the idea of it right up until he figured out that he had to live in Indianapolis. So shout out to that guy today who I went off on a little bit. Or was that yesterday? Said, yeah, you look like a Colts fan. He was being mean to my friend Dilla on the internet.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
I fucking had no idea, bro. I don't read my mentions. That shit's like a slot machine.
Oh, you're big time now. You're like Uncle Chaps. You don't even read your mentions.
I don't know what people are talking about. And people write me paragraphs. I'm like, what? We read in fucking like 10,000 words a day.
Words to the wise. Do not write Dilla a paragraph. He doesn't have the attention span for it.
Especially if you've like called me a dumbass before, I'm definitely not reading your shit. No time of day favorite. Move on.
My favorite thing to do is just mute people that do that. Like, oh, okay. Because they want you to, like, there's a certain brand of people on the internet that want you to block them. Because then they can fire off those tweets afterwards, or like, oh, look at this guy. He's soft. He blocked me. All I said
pussy
was this.
Blocked me on the internet. Pussy. Yeah, pussy.
Oh, he can't even take this, man. All I said was that his mom's a crack whore and she's got a vagina the size of the Grand Canyon. Like, what? This guy's soft, you know? Like, and so now I just be like, hey, look, you could talk all about my mom's vagina to yourself.
In the void. Yep. Yeah, I love the mute function. Just like, go scream in the void, my guy.
Yeah. That's like even better.
People? I don't even know what it's like to have people screaming your mentions at you all day. That sounds terrible.
Just go tweet something like Trevor Lawrence sucks tomorrow at like noon when everyone's on lunch. I promise it'll happen.
Everybody agree with me. They're like, yeah, he does suck. Yeah.
You're right, Solly.
one of the most glaring moments of holy shit, we're in the Twilight Zone. It was very clearly over the last like month and a half where the 21-year-old quarterback had an insanely greater amount of poise and presence in his press conferences than the, you know, the self-proclaimed football genius and master motivator and leader of men, Urban Meyer. I mean, I think that's encouraging, dude. With Trevor, you know, Mia asked the question today. I don't know if you guys saw it in Trevor's presser, but Mia asked the question, kind of followed up about, you know, you've been quoted in the past of telling Shad Khan when you signed your first contract that you wanted to retire here. You know, has this season changed that in your head at all, essentially, right? So it's like a good question, right? Because for most people, I think that's something that folks are thinking about, because everybody's still kind of obviously has those worries after the Jalen situation. And I still see this day, I see people like a couple times a week on the timeline or something, I'll see people talk about like, oh, he's out of here. He's out of here as soon as his contract's up, he's out of here. And so she asked that,
which is probably true.
And let's not fucking listen. There's one thing we know. Jaguars Twitter is all powerful, and let's not even put that kind of fucking juju into the universe. But I thought his answer to it was so seasoned, dude. And it was just so, this guy can just continue to put the play on the field together. Fuck, man, make Trevor the coach. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Just head coach, Trevor Lawrence for head coach.
He should honestly be in the interviews. Like, I don't give a fuck. He should be in the interviews.
Let him conduct the interviews.
Yeah. I trust him.
On the kismet behind Shad's desk, just like somebody walks in and then he does the whole, like, the chair is the back of the chair is facing the person and he just spins around.
He turns around, like, and it's Trevor.
My guy is just like, well,
you weren't expecting me.
Thank you, Mr. McDaniel, for joining us. Shad Khan won't be joining us today. I hope you don't mind.
I am the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I happen to like their coffee.
So
we've lost Dilla. He's scanning the timeline.
He's on Twitter. He's on Twitter.
He's probably conducting a Twitter space right now with Mia O'Brien.
There's two more people that we have to talk about. One, I just want to talk about for 1 second. I just want to say, if it happens, rest in peace to Joe Cullen. I'm really sad that he's going to be gone. I love Joe Cullen. And number two, we have to talk about how do we get Trent Baalke the fuck out of here?
Okay.
Is Trent Baalke going to be the fuck out of here? And if not, how do we get Trent Baalke? Do we need to do Team Trent? Like, how do we hashtag
Team Trent? I'm prepared to do hashtag Team Trent.
I will go all in on hashtag Team
Trent. My forces have already been mobilized.
Dell, if you're listening to this, we're going to need you for Team Trent.
We can deploy all resources if needed. I think Dilla would tell you that he's hearing whispers of Balky being gone as well. That's what I've heard. I don't know how you don't do that, but the troops stand at the ready. So there's that. What was the other thing you said, Sally?
So the thought is that that's done. I don't know anything. I'm stupid.
Yeah, Dilla hasn't been listening to anything we're saying. So
yeah, I have. You guys are talking about if we're gonna get rid of Balky or not.
We're gonna get rid of Urban.
No, I mean, I think they're gonna get rid of him. Shad knows, man. He fucked up every single time by not cleaning house. He's gonna clean house.
Yeah, I think so.
Some
too.
Of the defensive staff thinks Joe Colan thinks he's done a good enough job to keep his job. I don't blame him for thinking that way. If the next guy keeps Joe Colan, I'm not gonna be upset.
No, yeah.
I don't think anybody would.
I'm just shell shocked.
Like a Todd Walsh carryover.
I'm just shell shocked from the half measures. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, yeah. So with Colan, I guess we can leave it with this. One of the fucking tweets of the week goes to our guy Tom Evil Zorak, where it was just like all these reports are coming out from Tom Pussolero and all these dudes and like it's just these coaches, you know, Urban said this about the coaches, and it was just clear that's, you know, it's probably some of the coaches leaking the shit, Trent Baalke, whoever it is. And Tom, I tweeted something and Tom replies, I never thought the most grown up and responsible person in the room with all those coaches would be the guy who not too long ago was at the Wendy's drive-through naked. I was just like, that's probably when you know shit is not going well.
Oh man,
that's it. We're about to lose Dilla. He's done.
He's creating his next spaces right now.
Yes, he's DMing me. He's like, I'm done with these guys. This is an amateur podcast.
Shit's trash. They don't even know Roy Roberts' real name.
Like, you were right, Mia. I've moved past this. I am bigger than these guys now. Big Cat was on my spaces today. Hey, Dillett, speaking of that, you think we can get Big Cat on the pod now that you guys are BFF or what?
Yeah, I'm sure. You just holler at our boy Chaps. I'm sure you can make it happen.
Chaps could get us Urban Meyer on the pod. They're big boys.
Well, you know, Doug Marrone probably won't be coaching the O-line at Alabama anymore. I wonder what he's doing.
Oh, Tad promised he was going to get us Doug Marrone, remember?
Yeah, I remember. Then Tad left.
Tad, we're gonna cash that. We're gonna cash that in, Tad, if you're listening.
Rest in peace, Tad. RIP. Yeah. Well, we got a couple more guests before the season's over that we'll bring on. Yeah.
Sweet.
And I mean, let's be real. Guest number one, the ultimate get for us or for me is Fred Taylor. Like, I want fucking Fred Taylor on this podcast.
He knows how to podcast. I've seen him. He has one.
I know. I mean, think about how much we could help him promote his podcast. Like, Dilla has thousands of people on his spaces, Fred. Like, we can get you some serious numbers on I Am Athlete. Like,
he would drive so much traffic to I Am Athlete that's never heard of it before. It's not even.
I'm just saying. That's right. Anyway. All right. Dilla is so disinterested. This is just not good. Like, what?
I'm not even, dude. You're enjoying this a ton. This disinterested moment. I'm listening to everything you're saying. You want to get Fred Taylor on the podcast, and we're gonna drive.
I know. It's just like Sally and I are looking at one another. We're like having dialogue.
I've been up since 3 o'clock. I'm just chilling.
He said, "Bitch, I'm trying to go to bed."
Just 10-4. 10-4. Well. All
right, well. We ain't got shit else. We talked about all the people, right?
Do the Jaguars win this weekend, Dilly? Yes or no?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately?
I already laid down some cash.
They're going to play themselves out of both edges and the tackle.
The Jaguar way.
We're going to get stuck with the safety who's going to fucking blow a coverage in week two and have no confidence and suck.
And get benched for Andrew Winger.
Make a wish. My man, make a wish. Love make a wish. All right. Well, speaking of Dewey's, I love you, JB.
Love you, JB. See you this weekend.
Love you, JB.
Let's go, JJ's. Let's go.
Luke Schreiber from Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, that's why. Okay. Why do people think they're going to win today?
Because we got Trevor Lawrence and we got a great defense. Yeah.